Welcome back into Sports Call on WTGZ, Tiger 95.9 FM, and on the Tiger Communications app. JJ Jackson on this fine Tuesday with Javon Cutler and Brooks Childress, and so thrilled to use our Auburn Bank phone line to bring on a good friend of the program, Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer, hanging out with us here. Ferg, how are you doing, man?
I'm all right. How are y'all?
Can't complain. How was your bye week, Ferg? No football, so how did you take in last week?
That was good. It was good. Got to really take a step back a little bit, not work quite as hard, and focus a lot of my attention on the Braves winning the NLCS. So, I mean, I think that's a pretty good exchange to make. I think the timing was pretty perfect because, it's never guaranteed. You know, the Braves are now in the World Series, and that's gonna coincide with this whole Miss week, a very busy week. But, you know, at least you got to experience that. And, went to game two, and got to watch all the games pretty much from beginning to end throughout the rest of the week because it didn't have work stuff. So, pretty good stuff.
That's incredible. I mean, you got to watch the National League Championship Series MVP hit a walk-off, and then the legend of Eddie Rosario born, and you were there in attendance.
Yeah, and it was really fun. I mean, there's not very many times I get to, you know, really be a fan, at a sporting event, just because most of the time I'm at sporting events, it's in a work capacity. I've been to a couple of really fun, significant Atlanta United matches the last few years. But I mean, I think honestly, the last time I had an experience quite like that as a fan with the stakes and the drama and the and just kind of the conclusion, I had to go all the way back to 2010 when I was a senior in high school, and I got the chance to go to the 2010 Iron Bowl in Tuscaloosa. So. It's really, I hadn't had a feeling quite like that since then. So it was fun to kind of get back into that
a little bit. For sure. And here we are on Tuesday tonight. The World Series gets started with our Atlanta Braves and the Houston Astros. So I would imagine your game plan this week, Ferg, is to get your work done as quickly as possible so that your nights can be devoted to the boys in Atlanta. So how are you feeling about the World Series?
You know, I mean, it's one of those things where as soon as they got into the playoffs, like, well, we're just happy to be here because, you know, they had a losing record at the beginning of August, but kept it going. And but no, I'm kind of at the point now where it's like, hey, we're here this far. Let's go ahead and win the whole thing. Why don't we? I do think the Braves are pitching better than the Astros right now. The Astros are kind of like the Dodgers in the fact that they have so many weapons up and down the lineup that, you know, you got to be nervous about. But you know, if the Braves can stay hot with their hitters and continue to pitch like they're capable of, I think they can pull the series off and win it. So we will see, how it goes. But pretty good confidence level. I mean, a lot of people have talked about the Braves coming in. It's like, oh, you know, they scraped into the playoffs, and do they really deserve to be in this spot or whatever? Since they made the trades for Rosario and Peterson and Duvall and Soler. Since they rebuilt their outfield at the trade deadline, once all those guys are in place, I was reading a story yesterday. You take the way Atlanta's played from that moment up until now, and extrapolate it out to a full season. They're a 105 win team. So it's not that the Braves don't belong here and that they're trying to slay some giants. It's like right now they're playing like giants. So you might as well go ahead and try to take out one more and win it all.
We can't wait. We're all hoping the Braves can win the World Series. How amazing that would be. We've talked frequently about how young a lot of us were the last time they played in a World Series, or hell, even won it back in 1995. So exciting that we get to experience that throughout this week. We're talking with Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer right now. Follow him on Twitter at JFergusonAU. The Auburn Observer for $6 a month or $60 a year. You get, in my opinion, the best Auburn coverage for football and men's basketball. In the last 7 to 10 days, Ferg, since we last spoke, I noticed that I got a confirmation of my payment processing for another year of support for the Auburn Observer. To me, that was crazy because I'm just like, oh my gosh, are we really at another year? Like, this is insane. I can't imagine what that's like for you, considering the fact you started this from nothing.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's been a lot of fun. We hit just over 1,000 subscribers. It's probably been about a month or so ago. And it went right into this renewal period where, you know, you hope that everybody stays on board, or you hope most people stay on board, and you go through that process, and you're like, oh, you know, don't want to drop too much when people you know, tried it out for a year and said, ah, you know what, it's maybe not for me. And, you know, truth be told, I mean, we have not had very many people drop off.
Awesome.
In fact, we've continued to grow in this spot. So we are firmly above 1,000 subscribers. And, yeah, I mean, it's a good time to join up this week. Going to be a lot of stuff with the Ole Miss game. Auburn basketball is about to get in full swing. And, you know, we're going to get, you know, pretty in-depth coverage of what's going on with Bruce Pearl's team. And then we do a couple podcasts a week as well, including one that you can only get if you're a subscriber. So AuburnObserver.com, $60 a month, $60 a year. Jump on board. And, you know, I think this is going to be a pretty exciting next few months for the site because of, you know, what's in store for both Auburn football and men's basketball.
Javon Brooks, there might have been a couple of moments where Ferg was sitting there thinking, is JJ really going to stick around with me for another year? And I did. I did. I'm sticking with Ferg. So I know he's excited about that. Right, Ferg?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I know how flaky you can be. So it's you know, it's very, very touching that you kind of surprised me here.
I said there is no – in my head, I'm thinking there is no way he can turn this back around on me. And
oh,
sure enough,
on.
Here we are. I made it easy for
you're
him.
You're fighting a losing battle there. And
I know that. Javon, let's talk Auburn football. What do you got for Ferg?
Yeah, let's do it, Ferg. Who do you see as Auburn's X factor in this game against Ole Miss, whether it be offense or defense?
Yeah, I think it's got to be on the defensive side if you look at X factor. And I think the big X factor to me is Owen Papo, if he plays or not. If he plays, if he is ready to go on Saturday and he's missed so much time with that injury, you've got a real weapon in the middle of that defense against a Ole Miss attack that, you know, when you play a team that can throw the ball deep and run the ball also very effectively, your linebackers are going to get asked to do a lot. And you know Zakobe McClain is going to bring it every game. And you know Chandler Wooten has done a great job stepping in the spot. But to get Papo back in this type of matchup, your fastest linebacker, I think your best coverage weapon at linebacker, a really good run stopper, and a guy you can also deploy in you know, in pass rushing or even quarterback spy situations because of Corral's threat to run. That would be huge for Auburn if they could get Papo back and ready to roll on Saturday. You know, they can win this game without him, but I feel like the defense has a much better chance of slowing down Ole Miss's offense and, you know, getting some big stops that they're going to need in front of that crowd in Jordan-Hare if he's out there and able to play. So that's my X factor. And I think, you know, if he doesn't play, it's not like it's impossible for Auburn, but I mean, I feel a lot better about Auburn's defensive chances against Ole Miss if you have a guy of his talent back out there.
Let's flip it to offense now, Ferg. And how do you see Bo Nix playing against Ole Miss's defense?
Yeah, this Ole Miss defense has been pretty interesting. Early in the year, people were like, "Ah, yes, they're back. They're doing a lot better. You know, they've improved." Then they kind of got hammered the next few weeks in SEC play. They bounced back last week with a strong performance at home against an LSU team that, quite frankly, I don't know how much effort they were really putting in there after what happened with Ed Orgeron. It didn't look like the LSU team, the same LSU team that beat Florida a week earlier. So, you know, Bo's playing the best ball of his career right now. He's coming off of an excellent performance against Arkansas. The Georgia game, if you look, the drops are one thing, and they're not all on the receivers, obviously, but I think he is placing the ball better than he has at any point in his career right now. He's going to be able to have some opportunities to run the ball. Because this Ole Miss defensive front, you know, is more often than not, they've been kind of run through on the on that side of the ball, you know, with the running game. So this has got to be a big game for Bo. I think the receivers got to continue to step up and make the catches, run the right routes, do all the things that made them so successful against Arkansas. But also, you know, I think Bo just needs to kind of stick to his gun, keep playing the style of offense that he's been playing. And, you know, they're in a really good spot to you know, have a lot of success against this Ole Miss defense because, you know, outside of LSU and outside of those non-conference matchups early in the year, it's been a defense that has had a really hard time getting off the field.
Justin, I want to flip it back to the Auburn defensive side of the ball. This Ole Miss offense, you mentioned it a little bit ago, it's very, very versatile. They can run the ball well. They can throw the ball extremely well. But one of the things that they do a lot, and we saw it a few weeks ago when they played Alabama, they like to go for it on fourth down a lot. Alabama did adjust to it very well in that game. What type of challenges do you think that could face for this Auburn defense?
Yeah, I mean, this is the interesting thing about Auburn's defense this season is that in third and longs, they had a little bit of a harder time getting off the field against Arkansas. There's been some games this year where third and medium to third and longs got them. But look at third and short and look at fourth downs in general. Auburn's defense has played really, really well in those situations. So, I mean, this is one of the best fourth down defenses in the country against the best fourth down offense in the country. And that's a fun little matchup to think about. I think the key for Auburn's is going to be, can you get some early down success against Ole Miss? Can you force them into some situations where they might be facing, you know, fourth and even tougher, like, you know, fourth and medium, maybe fourth down in their own territory that they aren't really ready to risk it as much. But I think there's been some times this season, go back to the Arkansas game, go back to the Penn State game. There's been some several moments this season when Auburn's needed to get a short yardage or a late down stop. They've been able to do it more often than not. And I think that's a testament to their defensive front that's playing some really good football right now, in both pass rushing and run stopping. And so, yeah, it's going to be a tough matchup. It's always tough when you have a defense that – or when you go up against an offense that knows that they can play four-down football pretty much any time they want. And so I do like Auburn's matchup, though, against that. I mean, it's not like this Auburn team is any stranger to getting those clutch stops this season.
And then also, you know, you're going up – this Auburn defense is going up against one of the leading Heisman candidates and Matt Corral, probably one of the best quarterbacks they've played so far this year, maybe one of the best quarterbacks they'll play all the rest of the year. How does Auburn defense go about containing Matt Corral in this game, especially with Matt Corral being a little hobbled the last few weeks?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what they do if you know, is Corral the running threat that we know he can be? He leads Ole Miss in rushing. You know, 2 weeks ago against Arkansas, Auburn, you know, KJ Jefferson scrambled and did a good job, kind of moving the chains in some environments. But, like, when they wanted to run him on design runs, Auburn gave him nothing. And that, to me, is going to be a real key to this game for Auburn is if you make Corral just have to be the guy who beats you in the pocket, you have a better chance. Now, can Corral beat you in the pocket? Absolutely. He's a really, really good, talented thrower of the football. But, you know, I look at what he can do and when plays break down or when he gets out of the pocket and has time to look downfield, like he's so dangerous, kind of like how Bo is. You know, when Bo gets scrambling, he can make some crazy plays and make it happen. Corral's got it, and he's also got a rocket for an arm. And he's got two really good wide receivers that are putting up big numbers this season. So it's kind of one of those kind of pick-your-poison things there. I think if Auburn, tries to get into a spot in this game where they limit what Corral can do with his legs, you know, you have a better chance of slowing him down. And it's easier said than done, but with him kind of hobbled and with Auburn doing a really good job of run defense, I think in the second half against Arkansas, they did a really good job of containing KJ Jefferson and not letting him scramble quite as much. They can run a similar game plan against Ole Miss. The Ole Miss passing game is better than the Arkansas passing game for sure. But it changes things when you don't let a quarterback or an offense get the full scope of what they want to do. If you can take away something or limit something, you feel a lot better about your chances.
Talk with Justin Ferguson here on Sports Call. Ferg, it's going to be an electric environment. 6 p.m. kickoff, Halloween Eve, ESPN. So what are your thoughts on how you expect the Auburn crowd to be come Saturday?
Oh, I think it has the potential to be the best crowd of the year. And I think the Georgia crowd was really good, too. And you know, just the game never was really in Auburn's favor pretty much past the first quarter of that one. But, yeah, I mean, it's a night game. It's the first night game at home against a good opponent. I mean, the Akron game was, and I think part of it was first game back, but your first game under Hartson, like it was loud and really rowdy. I think it's going to be kind of the same thing on Saturday with Ole Miss, and that to me is going to be interesting to see how Ole Miss handles that, because you know, they have played in some games this season where they've been on the road and they've not looked so hot, or you know, have not been at their best. Think of the Tennessee game specifically, when their offense was kind of, you know, had a lot of plays but wasn't quite as high scoring and explosive as they usually are. So I think the big thing here for Auburn is that defense feeds off that the energy of the crowd. And a night game at Jordan-Hare just feels different than you know, a day game, obviously. But, you know, this is a game where I think I expect Auburn's defense to have a really, really good challenge ahead of them. But if they can get a stop or two early, force Ole Miss to punt, or you know, get a turnover on downs or something, and really get that crowd cranked up, they're in a good spot to win this game, because I like Auburn's offense against Ole Miss's defense, and I think it could be one of those situations where you know you're not going to stop them more often than not in a game like this with an offense like this, but you might just need to get the right stops in the right situations. And in certain games this year, like the Arkansas game, Auburn's been able to do that.
Here on Sports Call, we like to do this thing. JJ's dubbed it as Fun with Ferg on Tuesdays when we have Justin Ferguson on. Justin, we're coming up on Halloween. I got to know, it's a question that's been circulating around the SEC after Mike Leach answered it on Saturday in his game against Vanderbilt. When you were growing up, what's the go-to Halloween candy? When you go out, when you trick-or-treating, what's the candy that you're trying to get a hold of?
The Reese's pumpkins. Those are the go-to. For some reason, I don't know what it is. I mean, it's the eggs at Easter too, but the different shaped Reese's cups for some reason just have a different kind of edge to them than even just the plain Reese's cups. So I mean, like, it's one of those things where, like, you know, you can get Reese's cups anywhere. You can go to a gas station right now and get some, but it's a little different. The specialty ones, those are the ones that always, you know, really stuck out to me. And then the other thing I used to do a lot, and I'm not big on fruit candy a lot. I'm not big on sour candy at all. But I will make an exception for the little Halloween boxes of Nerds. And you get the little box of Nerds, and you just shoot them all at once. Like, you just put the whole thing in your mouth and just, like, eat that way. I used to do that all the time, and that was kind of my other thing. Because, again, you can get Nerds probably any time of year, maybe, I don't know. But the little boxes that only come out at Easter and Halloween, those were the special ones.
And then what was the candy that when you got in the little goodie bag that you would automatically be like, all right, this is my sacrifice to the parents. This is what they can have.
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, I'm okay with most candies. I'm trying to think if there's one that just really here's one. I have always despised Kit Kats. I think Kit Kats.
Wow.
I think Kit Kats, the stuff on the inside, the wafers, like, it, I don't know. My grandmother once said, and she didn't like Kit Kats either, and she once told me it's like eating what I would imagine if you dipped a wasp nest in chocolate. And that, I guess, that image has never gone out of my head, that I always think about that every time a Kit Kat is involved. So yeah, that was always the one. And I don't know about sacrificing it to my parents, but I have, you know, people may know I have a lot of
bazillion siblings. Yes.
Yeah. But my brother, who is closest to me, Kit Kat is his all-time favorite. So we would always make trades and he would end up getting all the Kit Kats. So It was an easy trade to make.
That's the way to do it. I like it. It's Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer joining us here on the program on this Tuesday. Auburn and Ole Miss coming up this weekend. We also have a inter-squad scrimmage that you can go to on Friday night following the Auburn volleyball game. There will be a dunk contest on hand. I do not imagine that we will have a slippery court to take away from that dunk contest taking place. Ferg was at tip-off at Toomer's a couple of weeks ago between Dylan Cardwell breaking out and All I Want for Christmas Is You, Alan Flanagan shooting with one foot. I mean, they're doing anything they can to let people see this basketball team early. And Ferg, I think that'll be a good event on Friday. What about you?
Yeah, it is. It'll be a lot of fun. I think it's a good one to have because, you know, next Friday night is the exhibition against Southern Indiana. And that's going to be, you know, people are going to be excited to go to that one. But if you're going to A&M to the football game the next day, probably aren't going to be in Auburn on Friday night. So it's just another opportunity to get some eyeballs on the product and before they open the season here in a couple weeks. It's 2 weeks from tonight. They open the season. So, yeah, I think it's always easy to make something like that happen. I think teams are doing exhibitions right now, but I know when I was in Arkansas a couple Saturdays ago, they were promoting their big, red and white scrimmage that they do every year at Arkansas. And I remember thinking, like, that'd be interesting if Auburn did one of those. And, you know, like a couple days later, they announced that they're doing one of those. So I think that'll be a really fun time. And it's just another opportunity for fans to see what should be a really exciting and talented team and, a lot of newcomers. So it'll be your first real chance to see what these guys look like in a game-like environment.
Pretty crazy to think we are 14 days away from the start of the college basketball season officially, which means that we are 12 days away from my birthday. So there you go. There you go. That's good stuff. I can't wait. Ferg, we always do appreciate the time with you. Thank you again for joining us here on the program, and I look forward to talking to you again soon, okay?
Absolutely. Have a good one.
All right, we'll see you. That's Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer joining us here on Sports Call.